Hello, and welcome to another episode of Endeavors. On today's show, I speak with film director Charles-Olivier Michaud. That's all coming up on Endeavors. Well, hello from Slovakia, and welcome to another episode of Endeavors. Apologies that the show didn't get up last week. It was a whirlwind first week of teaching in Levice, Slovakia. I've also been a bit under the weather and on the go, and life's been an adjustment, and I'm sure you know how it is. I am recording right now from the town of Žilina, which is in sort of north-central, slightly north-western Slovakia, close to the borders of Poland and the Czech Republic. It's gotten quite cold. It's a bit frosty. As a Canadian, we can handle it, but still, life has been an adjustment, especially from coming from Levice, where it's been a bit warmer. I have started my second week of teaching, and you know, I think it's getting there. You know, it's not necessarily always the easiest to go kind of straight into the classroom, jumping in the fire, and I've been probably a little less games-oriented than I want it to be. But all in all, I would say that it has been a very positive experience. We are here in Žilina until the end of the week. Then I stop off in Bratislava for the weekend. And then I go to another town and continue to do so for the next 2 months. So I'm super excited at what the future holds. And please bear with me if the shows aren't as regular as they used to be while I navigate this new life. And apologies to all my publicist friends that I haven't gotten back to as quickly as I normally do. Canada, and specifically the CBC, which is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, have this really cool sort of, I guess, literary competition, if you will, called Canada Reads, which is the annual Battle of the Books, and it's aired every year since 2002, with also a French edition from 2004 to 2014, and then revived again in 2018. And Canada Reads is, you have five sort of celebrity panelists, each defending either their favorite book that came out this year, or an important book, or sometimes, you know, the books of that competition year will follow a theme. And in 2015, the theme was one book to break barriers. And the book that won that year was Rue, by Vietnamese Canadian author Kim Thuy, translated by Sheila Fishman, and advocated by Canadian film critic Cameron Bailey. And the interesting thing about Rue, it was also selected for the French language version, Les Combats des Livres. In addition to winning Canada Reads, it was also shortlisted for the 2012 Scotiabank Giller Prize, the 2012 Governor General's Award for French to English Translation, and the 2013 Amazon.ca First Novel Award. It has also been the winner of the 2011 Grand Prix Le Thiers Archambault, the 2011 Mandela Prize for Multiculturalism, the 2010 Prix de Grand Public Salon de Livre, and the 2010 French Language Governor General's Award for Fiction, and the 2010 Grand Prix Arte à Lire at the Salon de Livre in Paris. And it is, it's a novel, but it's an autobiography and is written as a fictional tale of migrant experiences. Kim Thuy is a Vietnamese-born Canadian writer who fled the country's communist regime after the fall of Saigon in 1975. I bring all this up because her book, Rue, was recently turned into a film by Canadian director Charles-Olivier Michaud, whose previous in credits includes the film 4 Minute Mile, On the Beat, and Snow and Ashes, as well as numerous television series including Premonitions, Can You Hear Me, Moi Non Plus, Canadian Nordique, La Candidate, Boomerang, La Galère. Charles Olivier talks about the challenges and the nuances of not only adapting a book to the screen, but a book that is very well known in its home country. And I apologize for some of the background noise you may hear in this. I was not in my usual studio settings, as you can imagine, because I am in Slovakia at the moment. But anyway, this is my conversation with Charles-Olivier Michaud.
So I just want to bring it right. It's Charles-Olivier Michaud. Do I have that right?
Yes, but just call me Charles.
Charles, perfect. Yeah. Charles, how are you today? How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yeah, in Toronto, promoting a route. That's good.
Yeah. I'm across the world in Slovakia.
You are in Slovakia? Wow.
Yeah. Like, I'm Canadian, but I'm currently in Slovakia.
Nice.
So you have a new film out, Rue, which is obviously based on this great book. What made you decide that this was a story you wanted to adapt for the big screen?
When I read the book, it was in 2009 when the book came out. Can you hear me okay? Yeah.
I can hear you.
The book was a very visual, it was very visual and the way that the descriptions, the way that the writing was very vivid. It was all observations. It was all seeing the world around the lead character. And it was unconventional in its storytelling in a way that it was not like a classic quest or coming of age story. It was really kind of the birth of an artist, and it was seeing the world through her eyes and kind of understanding the circumstances of the move from Vietnam to Quebec. And it was it was very harrowing but very visual story that gave way for music, for sound, I thought it was very cinematic the moment that I read it for the first time.
When you're adapting a story like this, how much do you work with the original author, if at all?
A lot, because it's her life, and it's her own life, it's her own journey, it's her own ride. I mean, it's not just like someone who wrote a story. It's she wrote her story, the story of her family. I had the responsibility of understanding who she was, who her family was from her perspective, and kind of find my place in this story. And I always say that the like a book to me, a book is a complete package, a complete art piece. And you don't you cannot just adapt translate a book to screen. That's the book, you have the book for that. But it's to find my own place in this story and how I would reinterpret the film, the story into a film, and to really find the aspects of the book that I wanted and the others, let go of others, and really make the film that I wanted myself and me, right, and the team. And it was to me, it's an immigrant story, but it was more than that in a way that it was the immigrant story part was really kind of the paint on the walls. And it was really the emerging of an artist, of a writer who at 10 years old kind of sees the world through the eyes of someone who's moving from one country to another in very extreme circumstances, but sees like someone walking a new planet. And she arrived from Vietnam to Quebec in the snow, in the weirdness of Quebec and the culture and the customs. To me, was that was where the film was. And it was really how art, like the art of writing, it was part of her. And how, you know, Kim Thuy to me was always becoming an anthropologist, and she was seeing the world and digesting it in her mind and bringing it back to us readers. And I wanted to be kind of have the similar approach as a filmmaker, and to make Quebec the very exotic, strange, you know, funny, quirky place that she arrives as if it's a new planet.
You know, Canada prides itself on being multicultural, and I'm curious, when making this film, did it teach you sort of anything about the immigrant experience in Canada?
Yeah, Kim says, and I like that, and I borrow that. Borrow that from her. I said, if you look at, she says, you want to look at the level at how good a country is, or how good the country is for people not coming from there, is if you look at the bankruptcy laws. And in Canada, the bankruptcy laws is if you have a business, if, whatever business it is, if you go bankrupt, the government will help you get back on your feet and start a new business. And she's like, Canada, if you do that, you can do that as many times as you want. So this is a good country to arrive, to land in, because there's no war, it's comfortable, the state is there the country is there, the government is there to help you if you don't have a job, if you want to go study, if your opportunities are there, you just have to seize them. And yeah, it made me see Canada in a way that we are very welcoming, we are good people, but there is also, in the film, you know, nowadays the immigration debate is very kind of fueled with a lot of hatred coming from trolls, from the internet, from Facebook, from all that. Before, there was not that, and so now we think and we believe that kind of the hatred or the anger or the bad feelings towards immigrants or immigration in general is more present, but it's just that it's louder. But the real kind of the real face of the country is as what after coming out of the film, after showing it to so many different people, to newcomers to Canada, new immigrants, what is that the experience of people is very, there's more positive than there's negative. And that's how you see that. Yeah, it's a good place. And Kim is, she always says that if we all walked towards the middle, if we did a few steps toward the middle, then things would just be easier in the world. Maybe there would be less wars. There would be less misunderstanding. It's also the film, I wanted to have kind of this clumsiness in the Quebecois characters. So they would, to give us, anyone in life, the chance to be clumsy and to say the wrong thing, to give us the right to say the wrong thing. Because if we don't say anything, then that's how we isolate ourselves from others. When we don't know, if I don't know how to pronounce someone's name, then just take a chance and say, I don't know how to pronounce your name. How do you pronounce it? And then it will start a conversation. And that's how we all meet in the middle. And that's a very Canadian thing. And I hope that people can see that it's not just positive, there's some negative, but that ultimately the positive experience gains over the negative.
What do you think, as Canadians, what do you think we can learn from the immigrant experience?
I mean, this is all, it's Canadian, but it's universal, is that we should not judge others when we see them, when we don't know them. The taxi driver could have been, you know, a doctor back in Algeria. I may not like the way that someone dresses or talks. I don't know their circumstances. We're all extras in the lives of others, and it's important to not judge and to have some empathy and maybe some being curious and just ask and be open to others. And it might just make things a little simpler, because if you didn't tell me that you're in Slovakia, I could have said, oh, are you at the Magnum Cafe on Vancouver or not? Or, you know, you don't know that I did not sleep really well last night because my kid was sick back home in Montreal, and my wife was like, we don't know the journey of the others. And if we judge by just how we perceive them, it's really fueled by our own fear of the other and the fear of what we don't know, of the unknown. And if we kind of let that go, then we might just get along better and just have, you know, more pleasant human experience.
Adapting pre-existing story can, you know, have its own challenges. As a filmmaker, when you're adapting a story, how do you decide what works on screen and what doesn't?
I want to understand, like, it's understanding the character that I'm going to be, like, let's say the character here of Tin, she's a young girl, she's 10 or 11 years old, and she lived through war, they moved, they arrived to Quebec. But if I had shown the tanks driving through Saigon, that would be war in a bigger sense. But when I showed the scene in the film when the soldiers burned the books, I'm getting closer to her own experience, because she's a lover of books. She's a soon to be writer. She's someone who, she's curious. It becomes way more intimate and personal to her. And when it is to her, then it becomes also more intimate and personal to the audience and anyone watching, because we kind of feel her more, that it's affecting her and who she is. And that's I wanted to make the experience, and the collaboration with Kim made me make the experience of the film even more precise to her and her family. And that's when it's so precise, like the tip of a needle, that it becomes universal and people can be like, oh yeah, I know that person. Oh, I've lived the same similar experience, because ultimately we all kind of live similar experiences, even if we're from Quebec, Slovakia, Vancouver, or anywhere in the world. So we're all human, and we're all similar. So it's, yeah, I want it. So make it specific, so it's very universal and wide.
Do you think Native Canadians, meaning people, you know, not Indigenous, but people who were born and raised in Canada,
Yeah.
What do you think they can learn from a story like this?
History rhymes with itself. It's always repeats itself, whether it's the, you know, in the 1970s, it was the crisis of the Vietnamese boat people who came to Canada, to the US, to Europe. They were displaced because of a regime of communism and a regime, a hard regime in Vietnam. Then it was the crisis of, you know, there was the Syrians, the Kosovo, Bosnia. Now it's Ukraine, it's Palestine. They're all different cultures. They're all from different parts of the world. But ultimately, they all have this very similar path, is that they are forced to leave their own place. They have to survive, and then they have to settle for a new life, whether it's in Quebec, in Ontario, or in the States, or in France. They have so unfortunately, I wish that stories like this would not be necessary anymore. But since, you know, history repeats itself and rhymes with itself, then we have to kind of to make them understand that it's okay. It happened. Like, now we have like these waves of people that are coming from Palestine, from the Middle East, or from Eastern Europe, from Ukraine and Russia, is that it can ultimately, yes, maybe now there's a crisis, but in the end, it's going to be fine. Kim Thuy, she became, you know, they arrived here in 1978, you know, in a crisis. They had nothing when they started. The government gave them $300 to survive per family. And now today, Kim is she's a world-renowned author who sold 1 million copies around the world. Her brother is a very accomplished dentist, and her other brother is the CEO of an insurance company in Asia. So, you know, when they arrived, who would have guessed that they would have accomplished these things? No one. So, but because the welcoming and the experience here from the locals who welcomed them was so positive, they transformed them and helped them kind of go and become the maximum of themselves. So let's try to be more welcoming and be more positive. And in the end, in 40, in 30, in 25 years, in 40 years, these people that we welcome today will have accomplished things. If we go against them, or if we are negative or hateful or something, then yes, you know, anyone who receives hate will not want to mix in, will not want to be part of a culture. So it's all about, and it's not living in a world of Skittles and unicorns and vanilla ice cream. It's just strive to have a little empathy and to be open and ask maybe the wrong questions so we can be rectified and have the right answers.
For a film like this, what is your sort of casting process or casting manifesto? Because it's a very specific role.
Yeah. It's if we're talking about Chloe, the lead actress, it was when you cast young actors, young people, you always kind of, you hope for what you want, but really you settle for what you find. In the case of Chloe, the lead actress, we never settled. We found the rare pearl, the rare old soul that I was hoping to find. And it was during the COVID, and we had seen like more than 100 self-tapes of young Vietnamese-born actress, Vietnamese origin actresses. And we didn't find her. And until the day that I was doing callbacks and there was a new candidate, it was her. And she came and she had her mask on so I could see her eyes. And the way she was looking at me, I knew it was her. And when she told me her story, that was in 2021. The year before, in 2020, her and her family moved from Vietnam to Montreal to be with her grandparents just before the Vietnam closed its borders. So in a lot of ways, over more than 40 years, Kim and Chloe live very similar experience, very different, but very similar. They came during very extreme circumstances, For Kim, it was after the war. For Chloe, it was COVID. They were leaving a country. They were leaving behind their life, their school, their friends, their habits. And so she came here and they settled and they started a new life. So in a lot of ways, even if she was only 10 years old, she already had kind of the weight of the world on her shoulder. She already kind of, even if she could not voice it, she could understand that, you know, she could understand a lot of what Kim Thuy had lived in the story that we were gonna make on the film.
You know, there's been a lot of conversations lately about, you know, authenticity and all that. How important was it for you to cast somebody who was Vietnamese as opposed to, you know, Thai or Chinese or another Asian,
Southeast Asian
sort of person?
Well, it was we wanted, I mean, it's not something that we really discussed up front as much as we wanted to find the right person. And I mean, Chloe, she is Vietnamese, but she was born in Vietnam. Her mother is Vietnamese, but her father is from Egypt, who's from Montreal. So she's not, you know, fully Vietnamese. So I did not care so much as that, as I wanted to find the heart of the film in her. But the fact that she had lived in Vietnam all her life, she was born there, she went to school there, and she came to Canada, in, as I said, during COVID, she knew the way that she would behave, the way that she would, you know, the way her body language, the way that she would walk, speak. She was so Vietnamese and so true that Kim, the moment that Kim Thuy, with the moment that she saw her, she was like, wow, this is it. This is her. We have like nothing matters. We need her in the film. And the other actors, the father, strangely enough, the most difficult part of the casting to me, I thought it was going to be the young girl because there's not that many, but it was not. It was the father. The father, played by Jean Bouy, is the last one that we found. We have seen, like, I don't know, close to 100 actors, some that were experienced, some less experienced, you know, some that were Vietnamese, some that were Thai, some, like, we went wide. And then one day, I think it was Kim's agent who had seen a contemporary dance show. And she was like, oh, there's this guy who's a dancer. He's not an actor, but he's a contemporary dancer. And she's like, you should see him. He looks like a Vietnamese Adam Driver. And, you know, he's got a six pack abs, even in his Canada Goose. And he came the next day and I was blown away how sensitive I was. He had never been on the film set before, but he had this caring smile, this openness that I had seen in Kim's father. You know, Kim's father was a very, very smart, very, very open-minded, very generous, he always saw life in a very positive way, maybe less like his mother, like Kim's mother. So I needed kind of that weird, beautiful, positive way of, and Jean, the actor, he had that. And I was captivated by that. And also the fact that he was a dancer, and the way that the film was shot, the way that the film was very, a lot of tableaus and choreographies. Jean would understand kind of his place in the frame, and he would communicate that to the other actors and make them understand that, yeah, there's no close-up maybe, but there is, we live in this world that is defined by what Chloe is seeing. So it was a big asset in the film as being so physically involved, which is rare for Quebec actors because they're classically trained, theater trained, but they're not physically like American actors. They're used to action movies, things that are more like physical. While in Quebec we have less that, but Jean was really kind of he understood physicality, which was, it's a good thing.
Every film has moments. Was there a favorite moment or scene for you that happened when you were filming?
The scene, the underwater scene when we did the after they leave the boat, the boat that they were crossing in the South China Sea, and that they come on the small kind of rescue boats. That was the last thing that we shot, and it was the most difficult scenes is the most difficult scene I've ever done, and is the most complicated. We set up a camera at like 150 feet underwater. We had 50 or 60 people in the water, refugees kind of swimming all the way to this little rescue boat. It was kind of like a chimera. It was very kind of beast-like. It was very strange. It was beautiful and beautiful, poetic, and harsh at the same time. Yeah, that was I wanted that to happen. And my director of photography, who's my dear friend, and we've collaborated forever together, he said to me, you know, Charles, we might not get what you want. He said that when we started in the morning, and he said, maybe what you have in your head is not going to happen. And we achieved it at, I think, take number three. And I was very happy. And it was a magic moment. And the camera pulls out of water in one shot. We start from 150 feet underwater, and slowly come. And then when we emerge at the surface, that's the moment when the family, they all come together and they all embrace. That was, yeah, in my wildest dreams, that was the scene that I wanted. I was hoping for. Yeah.
What do you want audiences to take away from the film if they see it?
Yeah, I mean, first, it's a film for the cinema. I want people to go see in cinemas because we did it for, it's kind of, it goes against like content creation of just like shots and images. Like we work a lot on every single millimeter of every frame of that film. And I want people to go see it in the biggest of screens. I want people to listen to me. I want people to immerse themselves in the stories and to bring the story back to them and make them maybe reflect on their own existence and their own hardships. Immigrants are not any, like, we all have our, you know, the obstacles and hardships that we have to go through. And I want all the dads I have two young boys, and I want the dads to see how, you know, I pay homage to them for all the sacrifices that they do for their children. I want the moms to understand why sometimes they're harsh with the kids because they want so much from them. And I want them to know that that all this is, it doesn't have to be so hard and dark and kind of hard. There's some lightness. There's some lightness to it in the film. Yeah. Good movie experience that speaks to who we are as a society and individually.
Well, the film is Rue, and it is out nationwide in Canada on January the 26th. Charles Michaud, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. Have fun in Slovakia.
Alrighty. Cheers.
Cheers, man. Bye.
And once again, that was a conversation with director Charles Olivier Michaud. He is the director of the new film Rue, out now in cinemas in English Canada. And if you haven't had a chance yet, please read the book that it is based on by Kim Twee. It is a very, very good read. That does it for me today. My thanks to Charles Olivier. Thanks for tuning in, and I will see you next time. Bye for now.